Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Mike's got the night off. Steve Thompson in. I have been around a while, and you hear me on Saturdays here on News Talk, E3O, WCCO, and occasionally fill in for Mike and Henry, talking sports, and, well, if there's weather and other stuff going on, we'll get into that as well. Lovely night here in the Twin Cities. If you're going to complain about anything, a little breezy, but the humidity is down, feels pretty good. And it looks like, as Paul mentioned in the weather, another good day coming up, and then things are going to warm up. And we really could use the rain. And I know when the rain has fallen, particularly on the weekend, we're kind of like, why does it have to rain on Saturday? I think we're in the mode right now where we will take any rain we can get. And you heard Laura's report on the drought, continuing concerns about that for another year. And then in other parts of the country, did you see some of the video out of the St. Louis area? Some parts around St. Louis, Missouri saw a foot of rain. So feast or famine when it comes to the rain in these parts. We did get a little rain here, and that is always welcome. So once again, we could use more. Sounds like this weekend we've got a shot at it. We'll certainly keep you up to date here on News Talk, E3O, WCCO. Well, it has been a weird resumption of the season for the Minnesota Twins. Number one, 5 days off during the All-Star break. They played a game Sunday, going to the break, and typically the All-Star break way back in the day was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Some teams would resume on Thursday as starting a four-game series, and then everybody would be in action by Friday. But the Twins had the entire week off. They played two in Detroit, beat the Tigers, and then they had another day off. They get swept by the Brewers, including a disappointing decision today. Really, really a tough stop at American Family Field for the Brewers. We'll get into that in more detail. And then the weird schedule continues. They get another day off tomorrow. And I know they've got to travel all the way out to San Diego and open a three-game series with the Padres on Friday night. By the way, our pregame show at 8. I will be in for Mike ahead of that ball game on Friday night, much to the chagrin of producer Chris Tubbs. He's just shaking his head. What have I done to deserve this?
I didn't tell you, but I'm out on Friday, so I don't care about Friday. You see, I'll pass thoughts and prayers to whoever's on the schedule.
Oh, hold on. Did you go to Brad Lane and say, "Hey, Brad, I need Friday off"?
Yes.
Once you heard I was in.
Yes, I wanted to use sick days, but you can't plan your.
Yeah.
plan your. I think I'm coming down with something now. Steve, I've known you for what, 20 some odd years?
Yeah,
I'm gonna plan my sick days now around working with you.
Okay. Hey, it's happened before. It's happened before.
It won't be the last.
But back to the weird Twin schedule. Yeah. Let's get away from our schedules and how you're trying to avoid.
Ooh, that's a good transition. Look, you're pro, Steve. You're pro.
This is a bizarre schedule where you're off for 5 days, which is way too long midseason, in my opinion. Good news is they got the Tigers, took those two. Day off Monday. Battle the Brewers on Tuesday night. Let it fall apart late. That was disappointing last night. And then they got blown out today. Chris Archer was terrible. And then they get to think about that and not play again until Friday night in San Diego. So it is really an unusual schedule. Now, if you have a hankering for Twins games, you're in luck, because once they resume Friday night in San Diego, then they have three at San Diego, return home, play three with the Tigers, four with the Blue Jays. Their next day off isn't until Monday, August 8th. So so they will catch up. But I can't figure out when they looked at this schedule and said, oh, yeah, we're going to pretty much let the Twins play two games in what amounts to be almost two or four games in almost 2 weeks.
I think
it's crazy.
I think that was maybe that was scheduled once they realized that it was the Buxton rest program. Maybe they were trying to do the Twins a solid.
Well,
maybe.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's that. It is. It is
load management.
Thing. Yeah. I mean, yeah, all you know. All kidding aside, it is very weird that they didn't start until Saturday, and then you did have two game series day off. You know, two game series day. You know, yeah. And then you go to San Diego. Just geographically, it doesn't work because it just. I feel like it's hard to get into any sort of rhythm. And I guess right now, the way that the Twins, you know, the last couple of days, it's probably good that they've got that day off before they head to San Diego.
Yeah, and there was no post-game audio today from the Twins clubhouse. I checked the Twins site that we use to get audio.
That's pretty telling, isn't it?
And get highlights. I think frustration is pretty high, and I have two highlights that will tell the story of the two games in Milwaukee. Tuesday night, and then, of course, the getaway day matinee today. The end of the ball game on Tuesday night. Twins fans not happy, as you might expect.
Two balls and two strikes on Arias. Game on the line, and the pitch, a swing and a fly ball, shallow right field. Over is Kirilloff, now drifting back near the line. He will catch it. Runner will tag, head home. The throw to the plate is going to be late, and the Brewers win the game on a sack fly to right from Luis Arias, 7-6 Milwaukee.
Yeah, so that is a heartbreaker. Another one that got away from the Minnesota Twins. They had an opportunity. It fell apart late. And then today it just got ugly. Early, Chris Archer was terrible. Three walks in the fourth. He got pulled. And then this.
Payoff pitch on the way from Cotton. Swung on, hit to right field, and hit well. Kirilloff's going to turn around and gone. 8-3 Milwaukee. The second three-run homer today for Rowdy Tellez. And that was a no-doubter.
Yeah, and the Brewers go on to win it 10-4, sweep the two-game series. And nothing has changed since before the All-Star break. Twins need pitching help, starters, and bullpen. That goes without saying. And those two highlights illustrated.
Outside of that, what is there? It's like, well, yeah, you need starters, you need bullpen. I mean, normally you go into the trade deadline and maybe you just need one, but I mean,
you know, I think a lot of good though. But a lot of contenders can say, hey, we'd like to add an arm. Or in the Brewers' case, and we had a chance before the Brewers came here to talk to one of the folks that cover the Brewers for Bally Sports Wisconsin and said, yeah, they're probably in the market for a bat. So even among the contenders, it's like, hey, we want to add a starter, we want to add another arm. Because for teams that are contending, it's like when we get to the playoffs, we want to have a chance to win it all. And what is pretty clear, even though they play in the American League Central Division, and even though the Twins are still in first, do you get the sense that once they get to the postseason, that what they're running out there every 5 days among the starters and what they've generally got in the bullpen, are they contenders? I think when healthy, their everyday lineup can contend. I think they can swing the bats generally and contend. But Chris Archer is an example, and this has been going on for years, that they find veteran starters who are coming off injuries or their careers have taken a downturn, and they roll the dice. And I listened to the post-game rap that Corey Provis did, and he said something that really stood out, and I did not know this. Archer walked six today.
Mm-hmm.
For the second time in three starts, he's had six walks.
Yeah, I mean, when you've got more walks than innings pitched, you got a problem. And I understand where you wanted maybe the Chris Archer of a few years ago. I think the thing is that you're not going to get that guy. And the problem, Steve, to me, is you look at the staff over the first, 2 to 3 weeks, it was one of the strengths of people like, oh, man, look at this twin staff. You know, Dylan Bundy and Chris Archer and, Joe
Ryan. Sonny Gray.
Sonny Gray. Like, okay, the Twins have a legit.
Then you got Joe Ryan, and you were going to count on Bailey Ober as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And this was, I mean, it was one of the best pitching rotations, starting rotations in MLB in terms of ERA and WHIP for the first 2.5 to 3 weeks. And I know it's a very, very small sample size. But since then, we talk about regression to the means, that we're starting to see the cracks in Dylan Bundy. You can't, to kind of piggyback off of what you were just talking about, you can't give up 7 runs like you did last night and lose a game. But normally, if you have a strong starting rotation, you can get by with having a weaker bullpen. But if your starters, if you can't get 6 to 7 innings out of your starters, you're going to tax that bullpen. And that's the problem that we're seeing again this year. I feel like it's the same thing year after year, that we see the same thing with the Twins. And you're letting Cleveland and you're letting Chicago hang around. And that, to me, is a big concern, that you let those teams just hang around. One little, you continue to stub your toe like the Twins do, and there's no guarantee. Sooner or later, to me, Steve, Cleveland and Chicago are going to take advantage.
Well, and it looked like Chicago was poised before the break. They took 3 out of 4. Twins limp into the break. And Cleveland and Chicago, to this point, haven't taken advantage, as you pointed out. They lurk in the division. It's not a strong division, but the question is now, as the trade deadline looms on August 2nd, what are the Twins willing to get up or give up to get a starter and bullpen help? And once again, all the contenders would love to add a quality starter, love to add bullpen help, even the Yankees, even the Astros, even the Dodgers, because they know, and for them, the goal is not to get to the playoffs, not to win the American League or the National League. It's to win it all. And what is Derek Falvey and Thad Levine going to do to improve the ball club? Because they certainly need to improve. You can't continue to run Chris Archer out there. Now, in fairness, I thought Dylan Bundy going into the break was getting better. He had some good starts leading into the break. Now obviously, on Tuesday night in Milwaukee, it wasn't one of them. You brought up the numbers. They were terrible. 4 innings, 7 hits, 5 runs, all of those earned. Then 5 strikeouts, 2 walks. And then on the back end, Tyler Dove, he 2/3 of an inning, a hit, a run. It was earned. And he walked, too.
Yeah.
The Twins as a team had 6 walks in that ballgame. And then you have Chris Archer come back and walk 6 in 3-plus. You can't have that.
Yeah,
you have no chance to win ballgames at any level when you're putting that many on base via the walk.
The problem for the Twins right now, and I'm just talking about the American League, the addition of that extra wild card is 2 more teams that are going to think that they're, that are going to make it to the postseason that feel like they're in contention. Well, now you've got more teams that are quote unquote in the hunt. You could say 10 out of the 15 teams in the American League are in the playoff hunt, because Baltimore is now a game over 500. Baltimore, the Red Sox are in last place in the American League East with a 500 record at 49-49. Yeah. I mean, the White Sox are 500 at 49-40. Seattle, with that ridiculous run that they were on, they're 9 games over. So you can make the case that just in the American League, 10 out of the 15, and I mean, that doesn't even say anything for the National League. So I feel like if the Twins are, it's a crowded market, right? It's like Black Friday. Everybody wants that deal, but now all of a sudden you got more people that are showing up to the store, and that's going to be a problem for the Twins unless you're willing to overpay. And history says that they are, very cautious, because they only want guys that have control for another year or two. Like, they won't go out and get a rent a guy for a couple of months. They won't give up a top prospect. It's got to be somebody that they've got team control or, for at least another year or two. And to me, that really limits the number of options that you have.
Yeah, and when you got a situation where you probably can't run Chris Archer out there in a starting role. I mean, they might when they come home next week. They might, but he walked six. They walked 10 today against the Brewers. Coupled with the six, 16 walks in a two-game series, and they got swapped. I mean, you know, you don't have to go much beyond that number
What do they say? Walks will haunt? Isn't that the old, at the Metro, walks will haunt? Well,
that cheesy graphic, yeah.
But it works. I mean, you got the old Pac-Man thing. It's like, yes, walks will haunt. Haunt. Yeah. See, now I'm all flustered about the Twins.
Yeah, so another day off, then they go into San Diego, play at Petco beginning on Friday night. Once our coverage begins, a little later, 8 o'clock, our pregame show on Friday night, Twins and Padres, and then they get some home cooking. 3 with the Tigers, 4 with the Blue Jays starting next Monday at Target Field. We'll come back. A little bit about the Vikes, training camp underway, the countdown to the 2022 campaign is underway. They open against Green Bay. I've got a thought on training camp, and we'll get into that in a moment here on News Talk. 830 WCCO. All the news, all the weather at 7, more sports to the max. Steve in for Mike tonight. Chris Tubbs is our producer. And still on the way on the program tonight, some great guests. Toe Young Park covers the Twins for MLB.com. Twins dropped 2 in a row. And he'll come up right after the news. The White Sox fail to gain ground. They get beat by Colorado in Denver, 6-5. Meanwhile, the Guardians playing in Fenway against the Red Sox. Lead it 3-2. After 2, so they could gain a little ground with a win at the Fens tonight. Viking training camp underway. There will be live shots galore from all the TV folks. There'll be an army of reporters from the Star Tribune and the Pioneer Press. By the way, Matthew Collar from Purple Insider will join us at 7:35 as we get you geared up for training camp. But for me, talk to me on September 11th when the Vikings open against Green Bay. And it's not that I don't care, but beyond injuries, it's football practice. And when I was much, much younger, I played football, and I went to football practice. And football practice is what it is. And the preseason games, as we know, now there's only 3, are forgettable. Beyond injuries and beyond an isolated position battle, let's talk in early September for the opener. I mean, beyond that, you know, John Doe looked good today. Joe Bag of Donuts really had a good day at practice. That's kind of where I'm at. Now spring training's a different vibe because it's cold. People go down to Arizona or go down to Florida, go to Fort Myers and watch the Twins. This is just football practice in late July and August as they get ready for the season. I mean, in reality, that's all it is. And beyond, if there is an injury, well, then I'm interested because that has a huge impact on the 17 games that count starting on Sunday, September 11th, kickoff 3:25 against Green Bay at U.S. Bank Stadium. Let me know then.
But at the same time, Steve, for those that don't get the opportunity to see the team during the regular season, this is an opportunity to catch training camp, to see the players up close. To me, it's not even about practice. I mean, for us, we look at it one way, but for fans, this is an opportunity to get autographs, to have those to have those memories. Because I mean, there are people that can't go to games at U.S. Bank Stadium, and this is. I mean, I remember going to Mankato for the first time. I loved it as a kid.
And but what it is it's. It's practice, but it's a chance for fans to rub elbows. That's what makes spring training great. You get close, you get to rub elbows, you get to hang out. I get all of that, but in the grand scheme of things, you know, beyond that, getting close to the players, nothing matters until September.
No, it doesn't.
Tell me about the injuries. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of coverage of football practice. I get the fans wanting to make the pilgrimage and hang out and have a beverage and watch the guys run around, but it doesn't do much for me. Football season starts in September. We've got the news. We've got the weather. Doe Young Park covers the Twins. We'll talk more about the home nine following the news.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.